Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and we are in studio again with my wonderful brother in Christ, Minister Harold Copeland, and I. We are ready to get right down into the meat of things with this new teaching series, Are You Satisfied with Jesus? Now, we are in part three of this wonderful lesson that Minister Copeland has been sharing and revealing to us, the sweet nuggets of God's Word concerning this series, Are you satisfied with Jesus in your life? Now, that's a question that you have to see for yourself. I cannot answer that for you. No one else can answer that for you. Only you can answer that question. And what a blessing it is for us to be able to answer that question as we see Christ according to Scripture. Now, have you asked yourself that question today? Have you asked yourself? This may not be a question of thought for someone who has not accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, but for the one who has, this is the question for you. Are you satisfied with Jesus? Now, this ministry, Mission from the Heart, has started this new series for a particular reason. The Bible has revealed from Genesis to Revelation of the coming Messiah that wicked man, that you and I be redeemed through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me put it simply this way. Jesus coming through death and Christ coming in resurrection to bring the believers, that's you and I, into the Father. Now, that's as simply as I can place it, put it, see it. The book of John has two main sections. The first section, chapters 1 through 13, reveals Christ as the eternal Word came through incarnation to bring God into man. Don't miss that, to bring him, capital H-I-M, into us. The second section, chapters 14 through 21, unveils how Christ, as the man Jesus, went through death and resurrection to bring man into God for the building of the church. So without further delay, Minister Copeland and I are going to continue to walk through the pages of Scripture to help us simply understand the question, are you satisfied with Jesus Christ? Minister Copeland, you want to carry us and walk us, continue to see Christ as who we need within inside of us. Minister Copeland.
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Hello again, everybody. Shalom. Peace. God bless you. I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Kenita Smith, it is a great pleasure to be back in studio together again. We'd like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio. We always want you to know that it is an honor to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you with the love of the Lord. We appreciate you. And we thank God for your lives. But most importantly, God loves you. And God has a great plan for your life. And every time you open your heart to receive the seed of the Word of God, God is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit into your heart. And this revelation knowledge will reveal God's plan and destiny for your life. And you too shall stand and proclaimate the oracles of God to a lost and dying world. As was said earlier, we're still on the series. Are you satisfied with Jesus? And with this teaching, if you're not satisfied through the revealing of the Word, you'll learn to be satisfied and appreciate Jesus. And if you are satisfied, I tell you what, there's room to receive more satisfaction from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because we serve a Lord and Savior of the overflow. And I pray that this is your day, your hour, to receive overflow, running over presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us dive right into the teaching. Now, we're still focusing on the disciples and Jesus' followers after his resurrection. We know they knew him well. They had an intimate relationship with Jesus for 3.5 years. But after the resurrection, when he appeared to them, our Jesus, there was many a times that it was difficult for them to recognize him. We have 8 recorded instances of Jesus appearing to his disciples after the resurrection. And nearly every case, they all had trouble recognizing him, who he were. For example, in the book of John, let's go there to the book of John, chapter 20. John chapter 20. And we will read starting with verse 11 through verse 17.
John 20, 11, verse 11 through 17. And it reads this way. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early. That's verse 1. Let me start in verse 11. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stopped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and he did not know that it was Jesus. This verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Mary." You turn to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Amen. Amen.
Amen. Now let's walk through that. Mary thought Jesus was the gardener. That is, until she recognized him by the way he called her name. And Mary was one of Jesus' greatest followers. As we set this up, we want to look at two more followers that could not recognize Jesus. We want to go to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 24. Starting with verse 13 and ending with verse 31.
Luke 24. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. Verse 23, when they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Verse 30, now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Okay. So we have two disciples. They was on their way to Emmaus. They spent hour talking with Jesus. But yet, they didn't recognize him by sight. It wasn't until Jesus blessed the bread, you remember, as he had done at the Last Supper, that their spiritual eyes was open and they knew him. In the same chapter, Luke 24, 36, 39, and 40.
Luke 24, starting in verse 36. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Verse 39, behold my hands and my feet, myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Amen.
This is the same day as he walked on the road with the two disciples. And later, he had to show the scars in his hand to prove to his disciples that it was really him. We're going somewhere, and we're setting up a familiar scripture that we know. And I would just quote it. God is us, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's go to the book of John. That would be John chapter 21, verse 12.
Which book is that, Brother Harold?
Book of John, chapter 21, verse 12.
John 21, 12. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Amen.
And the question is, why would they even have the desire to ask him who he was if they recognize him? It should have been obvious. But yet they thought about asking the question because they didn't recognize him by sight. The last example comes out of the book of Matthew. That would be Matthew chapter 28. Verse 16 and 17.
Matthew 28:16. And it reads this way. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Amen.
These are the remaining 11 disciples. As we said earlier, they spent the last 3.5 years with Jesus every day and every night. They was looking at him face to face, and yet some of them doubted this was really Jesus. And the question is, what was going on here? Why did those who knew Jesus intimately have trouble recognizing him? Many reasons. Let's bring the first reason in. Out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14.
And it says, "For it tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Amen.
Amen. So the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And now, since Jesus was resurrected and he had his glorified body, his disciples could not know him anymore after their natural man. They could not know him according to the five senses. And I want to say that in this hour, I grew up in a church that only knew Jesus by the five senses. And I won't call any names, but I can call about three denominations right now that only know Jesus by their five senses. Our God, Jesus, is a spirit. And those that worship him, and worship takes on a form of having a fellowship with him, having an intimacy with him, must mean there is no other way, must worship him in spirit and in truth. The truth of the Word of God has to get into our innermost part of our being, our spirit man. And our spirit man must join in a union with the Holy Spirit, who manifests the resurrected life of Christ on the inside of us. And Jesus become our life, our very life. We no longer go to our head, because our head is still carnal. We no longer go by our thoughts, because God tells us in the Word that our thoughts are not his thoughts and our ways are not his ways. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts, and his ways are much higher than our ways. So the resurrected Jesus was in his glorified body. It was not just physical anymore. There was a physical aspect to it, because Jesus said he had flesh and he had bones. I need to qualify that out of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24, verse
39. 24, verse 39. And it reads this way. Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. Amen.
Amen. So Jesus' resurrected body wasn't only natural. He could pass through locked doors he could now appear and just disappear. He now had to be spiritually discerned. And the disciples were not spiritual. They had only known Jesus through their five senses: touch, feel, taste, hear, see, smell. They were unable to know Jesus by the Spirit. Now that Jesus was in his glorified body, they didn't recognize him because he had to be discerned by the Spirit man. The two disciples on the Emmaus Road walked with Jesus for over an hour, talked with Jesus, and yet didn't recognize him. And the reason was summed up by one verse, the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 16. Mark 16, 12.
Mark 16, verse 12. And it reads this way. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country.
And the key word in that scripture, the other form. There was something different about our Lord and our Savior. He appeared to them in the other form. This is not saying he didn't look human or he didn't look like another human being. Another form is speaking of Jesus being in his glorified body. He still had the prints of the nails in his hands and feet. He still had the scar from the spear in his side. I bet it's possible that his face bore scars that might have affected his appearance, which in itself is amazing. When we are resurrected, our bodies will be restored perfectly without defect. But our Savior resurrected body will still bear the scars of his crucifixion. The only resurrected body that'll be in heaven that will have scars from this earth life will be that of our precious Jesus. What love that he would forever want to be reminded of the price he paid for us. And our Jesus paid the price for everyone that's listening to the broadcast. Maybe there's somebody out there that haven't taken the opportunity to receive the precious gift that Jesus brought with his precious shed blood and the precious blessing of having all of our sins forgiven forever. Not just the sins of yesterday, not just the sins of today, not just the sins of tomorrow, but the sins of forever. Because of the price that Jesus paid for us, we can receive him on the inside of us as our wisdom. We can receive him on the inside of us as our righteousness. And in the presence of God, we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We receive him as sanctification, holy. He become our holiness. And he becomes our redeemer, redeeming us from the kingdom of this world and translating us into the kingdom of his Father, who is also our Father. We are a salvation ministry here. And by the Spirit of God, we always take the opportunity to give one the chance to receive Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And the Spirit of the Lord is here to draw hearts in unto the heart of Jesus. So it's time for me to stop. It's time for me to drop. It's time for me to pray. And give the microphone over to our host, Minister Smith, and allow her to take us to the cross. Minister Smith.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is our moment of seriousness in heart, of seriousness in mind, and, of course, of seriousness in eternity. This is our time that we take in Mission from the Heart serious. We don't play around with this opportunity. Love to extend Christ to you, because Scripture tells us that Jesus is the way, he is the life, he is the truth. So listen to what it says in John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life, one's life, for his friends. Jesus did this for us, that he laid his life down for you. Why did he do this? Because of the love that he has for us, you and me, Brother Harold, the love, according to John 3:16. And that's a very familiar verse that so many of us have heard time and time again. John 3:16. And if you haven't read it for yourself, please make note of it, John 3:16, and it reads this way. And I'm going to read it in the New King James translation, and you follow along. For God so loved the world that he gave only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Let me read it one more time just to get it in to your soul. For God so loved you. I'm making it personal now. God so loved you, my brother, my sister, that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that you believe in him, that you will have everlasting life, that you will have eternal life. So this is why we extend Christ to you, my brothers, my sisters. We want you to make a decision today that you accept Jesus, your personal Lord and Savior, that you aren't being coerced in any way, shape, or form, that you aren't being pushed unwillingly to accept Christ, that you do it wholeheartedly, that you accept him as your personal Savior through prayer, through faith, believing that he died on the cross for you and me. This is what he did for us. So we want to extend him to you through prayer as you pray with us and believe in your heart. Now, it's our words, but it's your heart, my brother, my sister, that needs to be sincere. It needs to be willingness of heart, that you come to the foot of Jesus in all humbleness of way, that you extend your hands, extend your heart, and open your mouth, those that can. Cry out to him, letting him know that you need him. So let's pray as we tenderly, seriously, go to the throne of grace with bowed head if you can, laying prostrate if need be, or just a stop and drop and pray in some way, shape, or form. So let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done in me here, now, today. Lord, I come to you as simple as I know how, with my arms stretched wide, offering myself to you, that I believe you by faith because of what I know you've done with me, for me, in the past, because I know what you have led me to do right now, today, and because I know your promises for me eternally. Lord, here I am. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I surrender my life, soul to you in obedience you have been calling me to do for years. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. It is by your amazing grace that I am allowed to come to your throne, to come to you, saying, here I am, Lord. I receive Jesus by faith, knowing that your saving grace, Lord God, saves me.
I thank you, Father, for loving me in such a way to where I can come to you by your grace, saying thank you. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen and amen. So my brother and my sister, hallelujah, for those who have accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, praise ye the Lord. God set this day aside for you to do what you have just done, and that is accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord, for you are now in the household of faith. And for those of you who partnered with Brother Harold and I in prayer today, praise God. Praise God. As you've lifted up that one that you've been carrying in your prayers for some time now, praise God. From whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here, here below. On earth, praise him, praise him, praise him. Now that you have entered into, given, surrendered, accepted Jesus Christ, we encourage you, Mission from the Heart encourages you, my brother and sister, to seek out a Bible teaching church, one in your community that will disciple you and be baptized by submersion of water. Hallelujah. And when you get up, you will let the world know that you are now a Christ follower. Yay, God. Seek out a small Sunday school class, small group Bible study. Continue to listen to Mission from the Heart. God is working all these things out for your good, that you will grow and go in grace. You will share your testimony because of the hand of God on you, now in you, hallelujah, by way of the Holy Spirit. So thanks be to God for his love for you. This is personal for you. So as we continue with our lesson, now you can answer the question, are you satisfied with Jesus? Now I'm going to tell you who's mad at you right now. The enemy, a.k.a. Satan, oh, he's upset with you because you made a decision, the right decision to follow Jesus Christ, to become one of his disciples in spirit and in truth. Now, the discipline, the exercise is that you continue to grow in grace, and that comes through discipleship. Don't fall short, fall off, just because of the adversary. The enemy, our adversary, who will want to cause you to fall and stumble. Hold on to God's unchanging hands. Press into his word. Press into his love for you. As we stand firm, stand strong on our faith in Christ Jesus. So praise ye the Lord, my brother and sister. We are so excited that you have come to know Jesus Christ in the pardoning of your sin. So I'm just excited for what you have chosen to do. And Minister Copeland, you want to go ahead and continue in your lesson and welcome them into the household of faith. Hallelujah.
Yes. I would like to welcome my brothers and sisters into the family of God, the greatest decision that you could ever make in your life. And I want you to know, the moment you make that confession, all of your sins have been forgiven. God will never hold sin against you as long as you stay in this journey, because there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that was the problem with our disciples. They wasn't able to walk after the Spirit. See, it was a fact that Jesus was now spiritual and the disciples were carnal. And it blinded them to who he was. They had known Jesus through the flesh during his earthly ministry. But after the resurrection, they had to know him by the Spirit. They weren't born again yet and didn't have that ability. We look at the Apostle John. He leaned on Jesus' chest as they reclined at the Last Supper. And it was appropriate. But John could only do that because Jesus' flesh concealed his true glory. When John saw Jesus on the Isle of Patmos in all of his glory, the same John who had leaned on Jesus' chest at the Last Supper now felt at his feet as if he was dead. And that was in the book of Revelation. Jesus was the same in spirit during the Last Supper as he was when he appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. But now that natural flesh had been replaced by his glorified spiritual body. So we go back to what Philip's statement, that he wouldn't be satisfied until he saw the Father. The problem wasn't that Jesus wasn't enough to satisfy. The problem was that Philip didn't look past Jesus' flesh to see who Jesus was in the Spirit. God is a Spirit, and Jesus is totally God in his Spirit, although he was robed in a sinless physical body. See, Philip was only using his five senses, and they could only perceive things in the physical realm. He missed the real treasure of who Jesus was in the Spirit because he was dominated by what he saw and felt. That blinded Philip to who Jesus really was. And when we look at the flesh, our flesh is similar to our vehicle we drive. Our flesh enables us to get around in this world. Many people know us by our vehicle. They see our vehicle and they say, there go Minister Smith, there go you, there go me. But that's not the real us. If we drove up to their house and they came out and hugged our vehicle or talked to our vehicle, that would be weird. It's just the vehicle we get around in. The real us is inside. In closing, likewise, Jesus' body was just the vehicle that allowed him to get around while in this world. The real Christ after the resurrection was on the inside in his Spirit. And to communicate to that Christ, the Christ we worship and serve today, the Christ you receive today in your heart, we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. And next week, we're going to talk about how to worship Jesus the new way, the spirit way, and not by the flesh, and not by the five senses. God bless you. It's always an honor. And I pray that the grace of God go before you. Pray that the peace of God rest upon you. And I pray that the love of God flow in you and through you, that others may see this love and come running and asking, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name, amen. Minister Smith.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Yes, Brother Copeland. I'm just happy and excited to can't wait, actually, for next week's teaching series, next week's part four, concerning what Minister Copeland said, learning how to worship Jesus the new way. The new way. Yes, I'm excited about that and what the Lord will lay out for us to come to a understanding of how he wants us to worship him. Hallelujah. So, yes, my brothers and sisters, be excited with us. Make sure that you listen to the broadcast again with the newness of the lesson as we continue to just go before the Lord and lay out his word, that it would be a healing for the soul, that it would be the very thing that you need in order for you to continue to be God's instrument, you know, as we walk through this barren land, as I've heard it said, and knowing that we're in a world that doesn't really love in the way that God loves us. But we continue to press forward. We continue to stand firm on our faith. We continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand. We continue to study to show thyself approved unto God. We continue to be his disciples in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So always remember, my brothers and sisters, that the grass wither and the flowers fadeth away as you see seasons pass and seasons come. But you can bank on, guaranteed, that the word of God will remain forever and ever and ever. Because as long as you tattoo the word of God in your heart and allow yourself to yield or submit to the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you, then the word remains from heart to heart to heart. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We will continue next time. And always remember, God loves you as we love you too.